This is the regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners. It is Wednesday, July 28th, 2021. It is 5:01 p.m. We're held remotely under COVID-19. The public may call in at 509-472-0276 and enter 527-2814.
All from suites.
I think we're going to do roll call and then move to executive session. So for anyone in the public listening, we have executive session under RCW 42.30.110(1)(c) and RCW 42.30.110(1)(1).
Did you say how long it'd be, Commissioner?
No, I mean our regular board meeting is meant to start at 5:30. That's clearly ambitious.
This is the official start time of the meeting is 5. We still have to delineate how long the executive session will be.
Okay, all right. So I mean, is a half an hour? I always underestimate. So 45 minutes.
Half hour is a reasonable place.
Reasonable? Okay. All right. And then we'll ask for another 15 minutes.
That sounds good.
Should I call roll call?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Lindstrom?
Present.
Commissioner Lehman?
Present.
Commissioner Clary?
Present.
Commissioner Loring?
Here, and good evening, Mr. Walmsgans.
Good evening. Commissioner Lachine Seitz?
Here.
And Superintendent Butler?
Present.
Okay, see you all in executive session.
This is a regular board meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1. The meeting is in executive session. It is set to return in 30 minutes, but may be extended. This is a meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1. The date is July 28th, 2021. The time right now is 5:10 p.m. The meeting began at 5 p.m. The commissioners are in executive session and will resume at 5:30. This is the regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1. The meeting began at 5 o'clock. There was a 30-minute executive session extended for 20 minutes until 5:50. The commissioners are on their way back now.
We're just waiting on Dale. Okay, it looks like we're back. And all the commissioners are present. We are recording, so I guess now we move on to approving the consent agenda. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Commissioner
all.
Lindstrom.
Yes.
Could you humor me and you state the time that we got out of executive session that there was no public action?
Oh, yes, of course. We came out of executive session at 5:51. And there is no executive or no public action at As a result, thank you. We've approved the consent agenda, and that moves us on to audience participation. And just a reminder to those that are on the line with us that if you do wish to be, you need to enter 527-281-148#. And that it's a 15-minute limit total and 3 minutes.
We have quite a few fewer members of the public here tonight than last week.
Okay. And nothing at this time. We do have audience participation after board reports, so there is time at that time as well.
It looks like someone's unmuted, potentially trying to speak.
Hi, Jack.
You see that? Is anybody trying to speak for us? Yes, somebody is.
I was just saying hello. Sorry.
Oh. there's somebody in the public with the N52 on their phone that's kind of beeping.
Yeah.
I think that's just outside noise.
Okay.
Okay, great. All right, so I'm going to try to come up to speed here. So if there's no public comment at this time, we'll move forward with unfinished business. I won't belabor, but committee reports and discussions. Is there anything anyone wants to bring up at this time? I usually methodically go through our list of committees. I suppose I would ask if there was anything related to the CID, as we sort of alluded to that in our last meeting. Was there any communication, or is that for our next meeting?
That's for our next meeting. Yeah, Superintendent Butler and I had a conversation with our attorney on that, and we're working on moving things forward, and I think we'll have a better report out in the August meeting.
Okay.
Does that sound right to you, Superintendent Butler?
I agree, Commissioner. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
I look forward to that.
So stay tuned.
Yeah, good. Nice to have some progress there. I did the CCC, anything? Does anybody have to report? Trauma Care Council, transportation, nothing. Okay.
No, right, CCC.
Well, that was easy. There's an item here about board meeting format. Is that just related to whether or not we're still remote?
Correct.
And with the consideration of the rise of the Delta variant, are we just happy where we are right now? Yeah.
Well, we talked about meeting in person potentially last meeting. We talked about meeting in person for August meeting, or potentially having us in one room and projecting us into a place where there's public involved. But we could change our minds back to fully Zoom, fully virtual.
I would certainly vote with the fact that we are going back to being masked inside with groups that we continue with this format until further notice.
Yeah, I think that's a good vote.
If we are going to do that, is there any chance that we can use Zoom? Does anybody have a Zoom account? Because Zoom can involve the public much better. They can comment better, they can unmute better, we can see them better. So I was gonna, if we were changing over, I wasn't gonna make it an issue, but it does seem like it's quite much better system. I don't know if we could even buy it for a month or two. It's just by month.
It's not a money thing. It's only $15 a month. That's clearly not an issue. When COVID first kind of began, we were looking at remote options. A lot of people went Teams, a lot of people went Microsoft, went Zoom. I think the county does Teams. Neither option works amazing, particularly people calling in. Either way, if you're calling in, you've got to enter in a phone number, enter in a code, and then you got to press star whatever to unmute and mute yourself, the same as Teams. the big advantage to Teams is just that all of our EMS employees can easily join, and that it's recorded and accessible through Teams at any time to them, because the video is saved. So it makes it a lot easier for our staff and volunteers to access the video afterwards. If we don't use Teams and we record meetings through Zoom, we're going to have to find some way to make that available. Currently, we basically record this meeting and then strip the audio, post the audio on our website, which we could continue to do. So it's not a huge thing, but there is some rationale for why we use Microsoft Teams. So if the board wants
there to go through. There is a way to make all these recordings available through Zoom as well. And you don't have to *6 with Zoom. You just unmute yourself if you're in a meeting. If you're calling, I guess you do have to do something different. But you could all, it's so much easier not to have to call in and be videoed in. County has gone to use Zoom as well. They use both now. Initially, it wasn't secure enough, but it's changed. The policies with Zoom have changed a lot and are more secure now, so it's equally as secure.
I'm comfortable with Zoom if you want to give that a go. I don't really care that much. I'm just trying to give some context. I think our staff and volunteers are likely to be able to figure out how to join via Zoom. I mean, they're pretty sophisticated people. But it is nice having that functionality with Teams where they can so easily join the meeting and access information about it and stuff. That is nice, but not essential.
You know, if we're looking at only doing this maybe for another month, hopefully, cross fingers, you know, we could have done this months ago. So, I'd like it to be user-friendly for people. I certainly would like it to be user-friendly, but I don't have strong feelings. It just seems almost kind of silly to do it at maybe for just one more meeting. If it's not a problem to switch over, then I guess do it. Yeah.
Steve, were you going to add something?
The problem originally, I think, had to do with the security issue. In Northwest Technology, our technology people had mentioned something like that when I first started. So that's probably one of the reasons it didn't go to Zoom right away. But now that that security issue has been solved, I think they'll be a little more allowing of us putting Zoom onto our computers.
Yeah. All right, so to be decided, sounds like we'll just muddle through another month. Okay.
Do we take a vote on it? I don't know.
I don't care. I mean, I'm not that attached to it. We had a member of the public talk about it last week, and I got an email from him later that the ability to change over to Zoom. So okay. I just wanted to bring it up. We can decide later. It's going to be on, we can decide our format without a forum or something.
The only other aspect of this is whether the board wants to change how we address posting documents on our website. If the board wants to give staff guidance on that, I'm all ears.
Excuse me, how you do what?
Post documents on our website before board meetings.
Do you mean to ask that? Like, yes. Yeah.
To what degree, though, on which things? You probably all know this, but just to reiterate, we post agendas, we post board meeting board reports, and we, after the meeting, will post minutes and audio and signed copies of important documents. We don't tend to put other things up before board meetings. We certainly can. Happy to accommodate whatever the board would like to do. When we've had discussions that kind of thing in the past, we've not gotten a lot of guidance. So we've just been doing what we've always done. If there's guidance the board wants, happy to hear.
Yeah, this came up ad hoc, I think, last week. And I recommend that we put together a packet. It doesn't even have to have each individual document necessarily called out separately, but at least a packet of the documents that we'll be reviewing at the meeting. I think that we should try to put that up as early in advance of the meeting as possible. You know, we're trying to get the notice out on Mondays for a Wednesday meeting. Then that would be a good deadline. That's still pretty short notice, I think, if any members of the public want to review it. But that's become pretty standard practice in the venues in which I operate in my professional world.
Okay. I think people were used to coming to the old meetings at EMS, and there was a table laid out with the packets and that people could thumb through the whole thing with us. And, you know, clearly COVID restrictions and everything has made people feel restricted. I do believe that, you know, our staff does an amazing job, putting things on our website and being transparent and posting our budgets and, you know, all relevant information. And, you know, this is, I would hope we'd be granted a little grace for how challenging this situation is, you know. But, you know, certainly the intention is not to leave the public out, or even any employee of EMS or the district. So
we do a lot. And in comparison to our peers, we do more than any other special purpose district in the county. We do not do as much as the county itself or the town of Friday Harbor. So we work very hard to make documents available.
But, you know, certainly we could say that if people want copies of things, they're available at the PhD office.
People can always request copies of documents. That's really what the Public Records Act is about. We're not required to really put anything on our website.
All right, so if we've discussed this sufficiently, we can move on.
Okay.
The next item under unfinished business is the memorandum of understanding between the San Juan Public Hospital District Number 1 and San Juan Island Fire and Rescue regarding integration of fire and emergency medical services for San Juan Island. And I'm happy to hear from anyone on this.
I'll start out. As I mentioned in the special meeting, I think that we have, all of us, long supported integration, and I think this is the first step. I think this is another step towards it. I know that Commissioner Loring sent out an email where he itemized what he felt were the deficiencies in the process so far, and I think that it was accurate to say that those were not all complete, though I think some of those things were done at least partially. And I think, as I said in the special meeting, I think that there has been a change, at least from my point of view, in the attitude, and that a lot has been done in good faith towards integration. And so I think it's important that we keep the ball rolling and put some faith in the fire department that they're going to live up to their end of the bargain, that they're going to be as they have been. They do a good job doing what they do. And, you know, they take care of the people of their fire district, and they care about that. And if EMS were to become part of their department, I believe they would do the same. And I think we have to trust that. And even though this has not met all of our requirements, I think we would be remiss to stop this. And so I'm in favor of the memorandum of understanding that we vote yes on that. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'll speak next. Kyle, go ahead. Did you want to go, Kyle? You go.
No, you go ahead, Commissioner Lehman.
So And I want to thank you, Commissioner Loring, for your comprehensive list on your concerns. And I reviewed those. And I see we do have the information about the amount of the levy request. We do have the ballot language now. We do have the, let's see, I'm not sure, you know, a mutual understanding of the disposition of EMS assets. What I do know is if there are assets of EMS, let's leave the building out of the equation, but other assets that fire didn't take, those can certainly be sold. So I don't have concerns about that. We got, yes, it was a very last minute, which I wish we'd had a little more time, but we did get information from Chief Collins this afternoon that really answers some concerns and questions that I feel confident in moving forward with the memorandum of understanding, because it is not dyed in the wool. That we're now putting this up to the voters. We are saying, yes, we want to move forward, but it will be up to the voters for this levy lid lift. And what I do see is that the combined levies will not exceed what the taxpayers are paying currently for both services. And that, in fact, our taxpayers are paying less than Lopez and Orcas. So I feel confident, and I absolutely have tremendous confidence in our acting EMS administrator, Mr. Butler. He has done an excellent job. I think somebody just came on and didn't mute. Can whoever came on mute yourself? Thank you. I have confidence that our acting EMS chief is doing due diligence with this process. And I don't believe for a second that anything will be overlooked in this process. So I absolutely vote for the memorandum of understanding. Thank you.
I'll go ahead and go, since we've been talking about the email that I sent without me getting a chance to explain it. So thank you. I'm not in a position to support the memorandum of understanding. And the reason I'm not in that position at this point is because I don't have enough information to put my name on a proposal that would go to the voters, right? Because once we do that, what we're telling the voters is that we support this proposal. We stand by it. And so there are a few reasons I'm not in a position to do that. The main reason is there's just a lot of information that is missing. You're right, Commissioner Lehman. We did learn today that the fire district intends to max out the EMS levy at 50 cents. We also know that that's inconsistent with the CAG report that talked about having, finding financial savings actually as a result of integration. And that's not what we're learning. You mentioned a moment ago that we'll be paying less than combined today. I don't think that's what the fire chief said in his email. He said his impression, and he didn't provide any numbers, of course, to support this, but he was saying that he thought we would be paying less with this new combined, the new taxes for fire and EMS than when this conversation began, the amount that we were paying. And as we know, due to millage rates and the, that's not an absolute number, right? That's a percentage number, cents per $1,000 value in your house. And as we know, housing values have increased quite a bit here. So the rate that we pay does not keep up with that, since it can only increase 1% a year. So anyway, back to the things that I feel are missing from this proposal. We now know that levy request, the maximum 50 cents. I believe there was some ballot language that was circulated earlier today, just a little while ago. I haven't had a chance to really review that. It circulated during the workday today. We still have not seen a capital equipment plan, although my understanding is that the fire district does not have any capital equipment needs. That I believe that was the claim for the next few years. Be nice to see that charted out, but maybe that's just what that is. We don't have a mutual understanding of the disposition of EMS assets. Superintendent Butler did an excellent job last week of explaining where he thinks things would go, but we don't have any sort of even tacit understanding or agreement with fire about what they would buy and what we'd have to surplus and how we'd go about that, other than the building, which we've been told the current EMS building would not be taken on by the fire district. We don't have a detailed budget that identifies by line item what's going on. Maybe that's not as necessary as, say, a multi-year budget. You know, a six-year budget like other public entities have put together to say, over the course of the levy, we're going to receive this much money and we're going to spend this much money year by year, so you can see how that plays out. To me, that's I can't support something where I can't see why somebody's asking for the amount of money they're asking for. And I think this is, you know, other entities have done that, and I think that could be done here, and I think it should be. We haven't seen a rationale for the budget increase that's being proposed. This process hasn't allowed constituents adequate time really to review the materials and provide feedback. But I will say the absence of members of the public here today is indicating to me that that anybody who I would have expected to maybe have concerns have showed up in the past. They haven't done that here today. So that to me provides some level of maybe tacit approval on their part, or at least that it's something that they're not willing to take on. I don't any longer feel the need to make sure the public has an opportunity to participate, since they have and they're proving that they don't desire to. And then the last thing, you know, I'd love to see as this moves forward. And again, I'm not opposing this altogether. I think that we're not in a place where I can sign off on it and tell people I support it. But as we get to that point, I think we should have a memorandum of understanding that requires a future agreement. And we don't have that at this point. So I think that's really important, right? The memorandum of understanding at this point, which is a little bit of a soft document anyway, but you know, as a memorandum of understanding, right? It's not exactly fully legally binding, but even that doesn't require a future agreement. It just requires additional conversations to address some issues in the future. And so I think any memorandum of understanding needs to make sure that we actually require us to reach an agreement on the issues that we say we want to talk about. So my recommendation is that we not sign the MOU at this point, that we make sure we have the information we need to show what this looks like, why the budget is increasing, why taxpayers are going to have to pay more money for the services that they get. And I hear you, you know, on the that it's less than Orcas and Lopez. I haven't seen those numbers side by side, but I'd be shocked if for some reason our economy of scale would require us to pay anywhere near Orcas, or maybe not Orcas, that would might be a little closer, but Lopez, if we were, you know, if we have four times the population and yet we have to pay as much as they do for similar services, that would be worrisome, even more so than the lack of budget figures that we have here so far today. So that's where I am on this. I if we're going to ask voters for something, if we're going to ask me as a voter for something, I want to prove that we know what we're talking about, what we're asking for, and why we're asking for it. And this process has moved along really well. A lot of effort has gone into it, and I appreciate that on our side and on the fire side, but it's not there yet. So I'm not in a position to sign off on an MOU and send a ballot measure to voters.
Shall I go next? I have some questions for you, Nathan. So have we had any communications from the public written? I would assume you would have forwarded anything that we would have heard from the public or from staff about this MOU.
No, we've not had any specific communication.
Okay, and do you have a sense of, by not hearing that, again, that is a huge thing to me, because I do believe that the staff are the most important people I can think of in this process going forward. So I wanted to ask you that. And then do you feel like there's securities in place to get all the things that we need on the list that we've asked for?
So, okay. You know, I don't want to speak for staff, and I've not received any written communications. So I feel like staff really want a decision one way or the other. And they're expecting integration. So the fact that you're not getting a bunch of letters and comment probably does mean something, but I don't really want to speak for them. You know, and then ask me again your second question, sorry.
Oh, do you feel like there are safeguards in place to get the items that we've asked for in complete form?
Yeah, the main thing we're missing is the asset stuff. And that will be part of the transitional agreement, the interlocal agreement that sort of specifies, okay, you're taking these things at this price. And it'll also have a section. This could be two documents or one, probably be one, but you'd also have an explanation of how the fire district operating EMS on our behalf would look like in 2022. And that document had quite a bit of specificity to it. The probability, and I think also the budgeting issues in terms of that kind of thing. You know, the hardest thing is really your year one budget. If you ask me what's going to happen in 6 years, what's our budget going to look like in 6 years, I don't really have any way to honestly answer that. But I can basically say, well, I know wages will increase by this much. I expect food, gas, energy, water will increase by this much. I can basically take a year one budget and add some multiple to it based on my estimate of cost increases, inflation. But really the biggest thing about the budget really is that year one budget. The year one budget we have from the fire district on this, it's not as detailed as I think some of you would like, and basically has the subtotals on it, but it doesn't have each individual line item. But if you're asking, you know, how will that budget change over 6 years, I really don't think there's a ton we can do about that. The year one budget really is where it's at.
Okay, I think Trish might have had a response to a public opinion, or you raised your hand, Trish.
Thank you. Yes, I just did want to say that I did have, excuse me, I did have a message today and a conversation with an EMT volunteer who did not address the MOU at all. So it wasn't about the MOU, but it was about concerns about integration, which have been voiced in the past. And I did have quite a long conversation via phone with this individual. And, I can't, some of those are leadership style. You know, we know there's a different leadership style, and I don't want to go down that path because it's really not what we're talking about. We have agreed to move forward with this process, but, and the issues that we've had, you know, with one particular fire commissioner in the past, which really sat very poorly with this individual. So I did want to acknowledge that I did get this message and then had a conversation with this EMT today. So I feel important to acknowledge that. But my other piece of this is that we're talking about increase, the taxpayers are going to pay more money, Commissioner Loring. And I want to know from Mr. Butler, what will our EMS levy look like? Just for the sake of discussion, let's say we do not integrate. When we renew our levy, are we going to be paying more as taxpayers in order to have our EMS service? Will that levy increase?
Yes, we're currently at 37 cents. I do feel like part of my job is to give you a real choice. You know, the attention should be paid to, you know, what does it look like if we don't integrate? And I have sent you some communications, some modeling about that. Even going back as far back as our year in review, trying to estimate, okay, well, what do we look like down the road? I do think that for San Juan Island EMS, we will need a levy renewal at least 45 cents. We're at the end of our levy cycle right now, and we're at 37, so we'll need at least 45. I'd feel a lot more comfortable with 50 cents. Like 45 will definitely get us through the next few years, but I feel like it's going to be a lot tighter in year, you know, 4, 5, and 6 of a levy cycle. So you've got to really take into account, you know, you don't want to be asking voters for more money every year. So conservatively speaking, I would personally recommend renewing our levy at 50 cents. And I know the fire district is also likely to lid lift if we don't integrate. So I do think the public avoids other tax increases that they were likely to have to deal with as a cost of ongoing service, which is normal in the site, just with how levies work. And I think that, you know, to some degree, our interest in this is actually making sure that they have adequate funding to take on our staff and take on our fleet and ensure the service is maintained. And it's actually one of the conditions of the MOU that they set that rate at least 45 cents, since that's what I estimate the minimum is needed for them to provide that service. I do think the public will avoid future tax increases. Whether the public considers that cutting taxes and saving them money, maybe not. I mean, it's hard to be, like I said last week, and I want to be upfront about this, telling the public you're not going to raise their taxes twice or saving you money is a losing proposition. You know, it may be true. You know, you do have to raise taxes every 6 years on your New Year levy, but no one's going to feel great about that, like being like, oh yeah, we saved all this money. I still feel like the main thing that we're doing here is we're providing the same service at the same cost or less than what we would otherwise be doing. Or rather, I'm sorry, I misspoke, improved service at the same rate or less. And where we'd definitely be offering a larger service that can do more things. And keep in mind too, there's lots of little things we don't do, types of rescue, types of, you know, things that you can get certification and training for. What happens if there's a toxic spill on the island? We have no capacity to deal with that. And we're just too small. In a larger organization, you could take on some of those things. And I do think it's fair to say we would be able to provide better service at the same price or less. That overall, over the next 5 to 10 years, based on this plan Chief Collins has proposed, that we would save money. But it does depend a little bit on how you calculate that. Is it less money than the rate today of combining the levies? No, it's not. I mean, the current levy rate is what, 48 cents for the fire district, 37 for us. So this amounts to like a 12 cent lid lift. It's around that over what we are today. You know, trying to calculate the future needs and, you know, overall looking at the financial picture of, well, what will the public be paying in 3 years and 5 years and 6 years? Like, we do know that our costs go up, and we've all seen that in our own lives, right? Rent's going up, cost of labor is going up, electricity is going up, even water, you know, like everything's more expensive. And, you know, we're limited to whatever the levy was passed 5 years ago. When we get 1% a year, we all know the cost of living, cost of expenses is going up more than that. So the public, I do believe, and I'm not saying you have to take my word for it, but, and I understand that not having this charted out in front of you is inadequate. But my own belief is that this still saves money, that in the long term, the public saves money, even based on this budget that we're seeing right in front of us.